That's great stuff with Garrett Temple. Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I'm with you until 7 o'clock, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Doug had to take off a little bit early. He'll be back with me tomorrow at 3 as we come to you from beautiful Golden 1 Center as the Kings take on LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, who come in losing 2 in a row. They're not really playing that well. They have lost 4 of their last 10, which for them is not good. They lost to Portland last night, 102-86. They lost to the Jazz, 100-92. They barely beat the Suns by 4. They beat the Nets by 8. They lost to the Bulls, 106-94. So, not exactly playing great as they come into Sacramento. But they certainly have the capability of playing great. That's the one thing we do know. All right, Jay, you're on with Grant Napier. Go ahead.
Hey, Grant, I didn't get a chance to listen to the Temple interview. I just jumped into the car and put it on. But I, for the longest time all year, I'm saying this is the best signing we've done in a while. And you were spot on with the way you described the way a pro should approach the game. You know, not only are you one of the most knowledgeable people I've ever heard on the air, but you also inspire me, man. So I just want to let you know that. And we're lucky to have you guys.
Thank you.
And Doug is great too, man. I really appreciate you guys. I wanted to talk a little bit about Kings, and I know that's something that's frustrated you and Jerry for quite a long time, multiple years probably, is that those wide open threes. And you know, I hear it every day when you guys are on the air, and your voice is just going, man, why are they so wide open? And if they could learn to really correct that one problem.
I agree.
And get decent at shooting the threes, that would probably add 10 more games to the win call. That's an estimate. But, you know, why do you think that these guys have such trouble guarding the three? Is it personnel? Is it coaching? What do you think?
I can't imagine it's coaching, because we've seen the same thing now for several years. So it's got to be personnel. It is the darndest thing. I don't understand. I mean, especially guys that are wide open. Hey, I understand that, just like you do, Jay, we're watching the best players in the world. And so even when they have someone on them, they're going to make shots a lot of time. But, how many times do you watch a game where there's nobody within 5 feet of the shooter? That's the part I don't understand.
Many times. And these guys are pros. If they're wide open, this is a three-point lead. Now.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like a three-point shooting contest.
Yep.
And that is a critical component. If they could change that,
I agree.
That would make a huge difference. The other thing I noticed, and you probably noticed too, is that I've been watching the Kings almost as long as you have, since 1987. And I can tell very, very quickly when the momentum's changing, just like you guys can. And it doesn't seem like that Jaeger really reacts with timeouts at the right time sometimes.
Oh, you see, now that's the part I disagree. I actually, Jerry and I were talking about this the other night. I think he calls his timeouts beautifully. I really do. Okay. I that part I disagree with you.
Okay, well, that's cool. You know, I mean, I know you guys watch it every time. I don't see every game. But, you know, the other thing is, you know, we depend so heavily on DeMarcus. And, you know, everyone's a DeMarcus fan and all that. And when you look at the teams that contend, let's say the Cavaliers, if LeBron has an off night, he could have a horrible night, and they can still win when they're playing well. There's a lot of other weapons. And, you know, I think anybody that's too one-guy-centric, any team that's too one-guy-centric can never really go beyond in the playoffs. What do you think we can do to – I've seen DeMarcus start to share the ball better.
He's a very good passer.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering – I'm a little concerned about another 5-year extension because I don't know if that's, you know, it's sharing the ball and playing like Popovich plays, playing like the Warriors play, sharing the ball, and great defense is what's going to take you to the next level.
Thank you,
and
Jay.
I hope that's the deal.
I appreciate you calling the show. Thank you very much.
Yeah, buddy, have a good one. Thanks
hey, you
so
do
much.
The same. Paul, you're next here on Sports 1140.
Hey, Grant, how are you today?
I'm fine. What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
Same to you, buddy.
I'm going to see you on Wednesday. It might be my first game. I haven't been to the new arena.
Oh, great. You'll love it. It's awesome.
All right. I think I love you, and you and Christy are doing an awesome job. You know, you guys are awesome.
Thank you. I watch you
every night. And I want to give you a regards. You guys are fantastic the way you speak, and you're There's one. I don't think anybody could do what you guys do.
Well, appreciate it. What's your question? What can I help you with? What's your question tonight?
Hey, I think we should keep Cousins. I think okay. He's gonna be good. He's gonna come around. You got to give everybody a chance. You know.
That's fine. Hey, Paul, you have a good night. Thank you for chiming in. Mike, you're next here on the Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Hey, Grant, man. You got to give him a chance. He hasn't had one in the last 6 years.
Seven.
seven, sorry. So here's my thought on it. I'm definitely in the trade Cousins group, but as asset, like management, I get the contract extension, right? But tell me you can't get behind the no trade clause that's been rumored out there. Right?
I would say that there would be no chance of that happening, number one. Number two, I don't even know why the news on a contract is news, because nothing can be done until the 1st of July.
Right.
And it's January. And I said yesterday, Mike, I just want to win some games, for crying out loud. I'm so sick of this and that. And how about our community just focusing in on winning basketball games for a little while? How would that be?
Yeah, that would be lovely. It's kind of weird to comment, but I see Cousins is just so divisive in our community now that the second they talk about him, an extension, the trade, or anything, we forget about just the Kings winning a game.
Yep.
And that's part of why I am in the pro trade him, because it's just, for me, it's just too much about him. Like, even when we had the stars, you know, it wasn't about Weber. It wasn't about Vlad. It wasn't about any of them. It was about the Kings. And even if he's a great talent and can go on somewhere else and do something good, I just feel it's gotten to a point, it's too far down the road where it's all about him no matter what, good or bad. And I want to talk about the Kings and the Kings doing well. And I hope that it's an asset management move to just control him and potentially help the trade or something.
Okay,
man.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. You have a good night.
Grant.
Steven, you're next here. Hello, Steven.
Hi, Grant. I was listening to your conversation earlier with Jay about the three-point defense. And
yeah.
Just kind of a theory popped into my head that, and I'm not one of those people to try to blame everything on DeMarcus, but I'm wondering if it has to do with the fact that we have a lot of instances where he stays at the other end to complain about a call or a play, and the rest of the team is collapsing in to defend the basket, and that kind of leaves a bit more of a gap out there on that three-point line to where they've got to recover and come back out once he makes it to the other end.
Yeah, so that does happen sometimes, but that's not the reason for the overall poor three-point shooting defense. That happens occasionally, but that's not – you couldn't make a blanket statement based on that. There are many times when DeMarcus is where he should be, and the Kings are still not defending the three-point line. But their transition defense in terms of defending the three is awful. It is absolutely awful. It's just awful.
Right. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Grant. You have a great evening.
Hey, you do the same. All right. Hey, you know what? We got a good hour going. We got a lot of people that want to talk. And so as soon as I come back, we'll get to more of your phone calls right here on Sports 1140. Hey, right now it is 6:16. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th to the 22nd. Doug had to leave a little bit early, so I'm taking you right up till 7 o'clock. And we check in with KD. Hello, KD.
Hey, Grant. How you doing, man?
I'm good, KD. What's up?
Hey, I don't want to talk too much about DeMarcus, so I'm going to stay off that. I have my opinions about it. I just think that, you know, guarding the three-point line, we just don't have good guard. Garrett Temple is great, and I hope we get another guy like him. But, you know, when we look at Collison is okay. Ben McNamara is a bust. The guards are responsible, for the most part, the 1, 2, and 3, for guarding that perimeter.
That's true.
And if we look at it and we assess it, we really haven't had – I mean, Rudy's not a great defender when it comes to sliding out, even when he was playing three. But we just don't have those pieces. And I think once we get those pieces, it will be fixed. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know if it will be fixed, but it would be better. You know, I mean, the reality is, you know, teams like the Warriors and the Rockets and teams like that, you can't really stop them. You can play them a little bit
right.
better. But when you say fixed, how about we use the word improved? How's that?
Okay, Grant.
All right.
All right, well, have a good one.
All right, you too. Take care. David, welcome to Sports 1140. Hey, David.
Hey, Grant, how you doing? This is David from Boston.
What's happening, David?
Hey, so listen, people might not like this, but we need to get rid of DeMarcus Cousins. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
We get rid of DeMarcus Cousins and we give Collison, you know, that star label. Look what Boston Celtics did. They got rid of most of their players. Most of their players retired, but, you know, they brought in Isaiah Thomas and they started building around him, and they built through the draft, and they're, what, third seed in the East?
Yeah, Danny Ainge has made some very bold moves there. There's no question about it.
I said we take a similar approach like Boston. You know, get rid of DeMarcus Cousins. We're going on, what, 6-7 years
Well,
now,
you wouldn't get rid of him. He's an asset. So if you didn't want him anymore, you would trade him and get other assets back. You wouldn't – the phrase you say, get rid of him, that's not really the proper phrase to use.
Yeah, that's probably a phrase. But, I mean, from my perspective, I think he's poison. I'm going to be honest.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call, Dave. Take care. Let's get to Mike. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just had a question regarding DeMarcus Cousins. I remember game 4 of the Western Conference semifinals in 2002 against the Mavericks when the Kings were down by, I think, at least 18 to 20 points, and they were coming back, and Chris Webber fouled out. But before he left to go to the bench, he kind of gathered his teammates around and had like a leadership moment. And from that point on, with the exception of game 1 of the conference finals, the Kings were always in the game. They obviously won 3 games. Does DeMarcus have that in him or no, with your experience?
Does he have what in him?
Does he have that leadership? Like if the Kings were in a playoff game, and if he fouls out, can he gather his team around and kind of give him
I don't know. You know what? I hope we find out. I hope the Kings make the playoffs with DeMarcus, and then we can find out all the answers to those questions. I don't know. I don't know how he would be in a playoff game if he fouled out. All I know is that I would love to find out. I'd love to be able to say, oh, yeah, well, he did last year in game 3. You know, I hope we can get there. I really do. Arnold, you're next. Arnold, what's up?
Hey, Grant. I know we don't want to put too much, you know, into Jaeger's first year. I know you said that. But, you know, we're closing on, you know, 40 games. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on your analysis or assessment of his job the first 40 games, at least what you've seen, what you like, maybe what you think he's going to do. Just kind of get your thoughts.
Yeah, hey, Arnold, you know what? Of everything that's going on with the Kings right now, Dave Jaeger and the coaching staff are the very least of the issues and concerns. They have a top-shelf coaching staff, and that's the one thing when I talk with my friends, even, you know, when I'm not on the air, that's the one thing that's a given. So that, of everything that's going on in the organization right now, that's the one thing you don't worry about. I would say this. I think it took a little bit longer than I thought it would, you know, for him to, you know, figure out the pieces of the puzzle in terms of his rotation. But, you know, again, it wasn't easy. He's coming to a new team with all new players. Like earlier in this season, you know, Anthony Tolliver wasn't playing and Aaron Aflalo was starting and wasn't producing. You know, now Aaron Aflalo's not starting. Anthony Tolliver's playing a lot. You know, those things don't just happen with a flick of a light switch. I mean, it does take some time. Maybe took a little bit longer, but then again, you know, he's coaching a completely different team with players that he's never coached before, with the exception of Matt Barnes and Kosta Koufos.
Well, can I tell you what I like about him?
Yeah.
You know what? I think he draws. He's pretty successful out of the timeout, and we know that very well because over the last year, a couple years ago, when Memphis beat the Kings was like 0.5. But anyway, he's pretty good out of timeout. I'm just kind of suspect of the rotations, like you said. But he's fine, kind of feeling those guys out. But the plays out of timeout in the fourth quarter with, you know, 30 seconds to go. Is that him? I mean, the Marcus shot against Miami, that's ill-advised. You can't be taking that shot. You think that's the players, or is that Dave Jaeger not drawing up the right play?
Well, that's another strength of him, is drawing up the right play. I mean, that's it. I mean, I got to tell you, Arnold, I think a coach is very important in the NBA. Don't get me wrong. But I also think when you get to the NBA, you're one of the top couple of hundred players in the world. And I've always felt you shouldn't have to have a coach telling you every little thing that you're doing all the time. And I just think that the basketball IQ, Arnold, on this team lacks. I just think the basketball IQ on this team should be better than it is. And they make some of the dumbest, bonehead mistakes that to me have nothing to do with coaching, Arnold. It should be when you're at this level of an NBA player, you know, you should know these things. And we're seeing too many mental breakdowns, in my opinion.
You know, I agree with you 100%. You know, it's up to the player to identify that situation. But, you know, I'm looking at it, when you really think about it, Grant, it's happening so often, which tells you the Kings have opportunities to win. It's now just being able to execute that. You know, they have the talent to get to be there with a pretty good team in the NBA right to the last few minutes. If they play solid, and they can play solid. But it's just getting that hunch. And, you know, the NBA, it's in many ways, the last 2 or 3 minutes are just, it's a different game. It's every possession counts. And that's when I think, obviously, the great teams, they elevate. And right now the Kings just need to start being more consistent in that situation. Win. And that's, you know, they're not too far away. It's just you got to win those last few minutes. Anyways, thank you, Grant. You have a good one.
All right. Hey, thank you for the call, Arnold. And, you know, we talk about tomorrow. You got the Cleveland Cavaliers coming in. And they've lost 2 in a row, and they've got Golden State on Monday. And I'm going to predict right now that the Warriors are going to win that game on Monday. I think this is a big game tomorrow for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't, you know, generally speaking, teams that are as good as the Cavaliers don't lose 4 games in a row. And I think if the Kings are going to beat Cleveland, they will lose 4 games in a row. So I think Cleveland, I think you're going to get the A version of Cleveland, which I don't think you got in Utah on Tuesday night or in Portland last night. I don't think you're going to get that Cleveland team tomorrow. I could be wrong, but I think the Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow, I think you're going to get the A version of what they do. So if you want to comment on that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Paymon. What's up, Paymon?
Hey, Grant, how's it going?
What's happening?
So, you make a good point about the team being low on basketball IQ. It seems to me like this team has been low on basketball IQ for a, you know, really long time. And it's funny because we keep bringing in different players every year. So my question to you is it that we just keep bringing in players who have low basketball IQ, or is it the fact that maybe if one player has bad basketball IQ, it's kind of contagious?
No, it's not contagious, and I think that's a great question. No, guys that know basketball, but there have just been too many, in my opinion, Paymon, too many what I would call inexcusable mental mistakes in very key parts of the game. Like, for instance, to me, Darren Collison's got a very good basketball IQ, but in the Miami, I think it was the Miami game, there were 40 seconds left on the clock, and the Kings were down by 2. And I was on the air going, okay, this is a clear 2-for-1 situation where the Kings need to make sure they get 2 chances here. And, you know, he brought the ball up the floor casually, and the Kings didn't even come close to getting a 2-for-1, and then they turned the ball over. You know, it's things like that that I scratch my head and go, how on earth does something like that happen? You know, that should never happen.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. Now, last year, I would definitely pin some of the blame on, you know, George Karl. I mean, it made my head explode when, you know, he said he hadn't, you know, practiced a late game, you know, situation.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, here with Dave Yeager, I mean, he seems pretty dialed in on the X's and O's. So I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me, you know, how you have a coach, you know, going off on you about this kind of stuff, and you're in the NBA and you keep making those kind of mistakes.
Yeah. No. Listen, I do not disagree with that. I think that, you know, and I think every player on the team, even DeMarcus, who's the very best player and he's an all-star, you know, at the end of games, he's done a couple of bonehead things that I don't quite understand. You know, the game in Boston where he tried to, you know, draw a foul from 3, and he did the same thing the other night in a home game, and instead of running the play. And again, I'm just using that as an example. I use Darren Collison as the example. Rudy has had, you know, a couple of issues at the end of games, although, you know, I don't ever fault a player for missing a shot if it's a good shot. But, you know, defensive lapses where, you know, you're up by 3 and the only thing that can hurt you is a 3 and the other team ends up getting a wide open 3. You know, things like that, Paymon. You know what I'm saying?
Cool. Yep. Gotcha.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Yep. Good night.
All right. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Hey, folks, right now it is 6:27, time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Friday, January 19th to the 22nd. Coming right back with more on Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, Grant Napier, taking you up till 7 o'clock. We welcome your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And it is Jonathan. Welcome, Jonathan. How are you?
Pretty good. Appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I just had a question of what you thought about Dave Yeager and the job that he's done so far.
I love Dave Yeager. I loved him before he was hired here. I have not heard anything bad about him from others that I respect that have worked with him or have worked next to him around the league. I think the Kings are unbelievably fortunate to have him as the head coach.
Yeah, I like the job that he's doing so far. It brings definitely in games. We're not getting blown out. That's the kind of basketball I'm going to see. So thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. Thank you. Ed, you're next here on Sports 1140.
Grant, how are you?
What's happening?
Well, I just wanted to call and thank you for the job you do.
Thank you.
Long-time listener and just calling into just a, kind of a personal thing. I was at Arc Arena last year. We have a season ticket package with quite a few of us. And a couple of young kids sat down next to me, and I started talking to them. Like, it's a friendly place. I love the Kings. I love our community and our team. So I get to talking to the kid. I said, you don't usually sit here. He goes, I'm down a little closer. And I said, oh. He goes, yeah, my dad works for the organization. I said, cool. And then so we got to talking some more. I said, wow. I said, so what does your dad do? He said, he's the announcer for the Kings. And it was your son. I just wanted to compliment you on that young man. I enjoyed that evening so much, sitting and talking to him. He was just a very, very nice young man. So I just kind of wanted
I appreciate
to give him a pat on the back for that young man and how he held himself and carried himself that night. It was very, very enjoyable.
Well, that's awfully nice of you to say, Ed. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
I'm also a lifetime Sacramentan, and I love the Kings. I would love to see us find a little direction. And I'd love for the ownership and body to get together and figure out what we need to do. Is it to keep DeMarcus and build around him? Is it to trade him for some pieces for later on? But it does get frustrating year after year. Being a season ticket holder, I would really like some continuity and some progress. Gosh darn it, how about a playoff game?
Amen to that. Thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate the kind words, and thanks for chiming in. Thank you. Thank you. I know there are talks going on. I know they have talked about a plan and what they want to do. And this organization, whether it appears to you or not, whether you think it is or not, that they're on the same page. You know, whether or not you see that, I'm telling you, they're on the same page. Okay. And, you know, now are they going to be able to implement the plan that they want to? Well, I don't know the answer to that, but they're on the same page. All right, Gabriel, you're next. Hello, Gabriel.
Hey, Grant, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to get your opinion on Darren Collison. I know his play this season has been subpar, even for his standards. And I think that when you're a team like Sacramento and you don't have one of the upper echelon point guards of the league, you know, for your starting point guard to be playing at the level that he's played at this year, it's really, it's hurtful for your team. And I think that it's safe to say Ty Lawson has outplayed him this season. So my question was, what do you think has contributed to that? And if you think you can turn it around moving forward, and I'll go ahead and take your answer.
Okay,
the air, Grant.
Thank you. I think, first of all, he needs to be a little more aggressive. I think sometimes he's too passive because of some of the players that he's playing with. It's a great question. He's in a contract year, and I think that he's someone that could be playing better. I don't know if some of the players that he's playing with are the best fit for him and the way he wants to play, so I think that's part of it. But, yeah, he's got to play better. I think that's fair comment. All right, Peter. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Hey, Grant, what's going on,
my happening,
man?
Peter?
Doing, man? Hey, long-time listener, man, first-time caller.
Oh, well, that's awesome, man. I appreciate that.
No, my whole life. And I'll piggyback on what the last caller said as far as Collison. I like Collison myself. After watching the team for at least since DeMarcus has been here, and I'm a fan of DeMarcus, I think we're in a situation where DeMarcus is obviously the guy's an all-star. I think we all can agree to that. And we're kind of damned if we do and if we don't. If we trade him or if we let him go, what's going to happen with the Kings? And then it's either like, are we going to get better or are we not going to get better? But all we know is right now is we have an all-star caliber player or an all-star on our team.
Yep.
Am I the only one that can see, like, I think we're like one off the bench and maybe one just pure shooter starter away from a 6 or an 8 seed playoff spot?
That's something the front office is going to have to decide. I mean, it's a great question, and I wish I could give you the answer. I don't have the answer. I don't know what they're missing, but they have to get better. I mean, here's the deal: they're 16-22.
Right. Yeah, and I think just and obviously I root for everybody when we're out there.
Sure.
It's just consistency wise, like pure shooter kind of wise, kind of player, which I think we all thought Ben could have been as he grew. But the athleticism obviously is there. The guy is a beast when it comes to athleticism. But as a pure NBA all around shooter / player, obviously that's lacking. I just think a shooter, man. We need a shooter, somebody who we could lean on. Not only DeMarcus when we have him out there on the three, which I love when he hits him. I was at that game the other night when he came through in the clutch, and that's
always, yeah, he made some big threes. Hey, I appreciate the call, Peter. Thank you. You have a good night.
Thanks, Grant. You too, man. Thank you.
All right. George, you're on Sports 1140. Hi, George.
Grant, I can't believe it's happening. Thank you. I'm honored you picked up my call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, sure. I just want to say, really, I don't want to ask you no questions, but I do want to give a shout-out to the Kings. I want to say, listen, I hope you guys are listening, and I hope the problem is, fellas, we need to protect the rim. The rim needs to – we need to terrorize it, and we need to make it our property. We got too many people over here claiming – these visiting teams claiming the rim. For example, the guy from Detroit had about 8 blocks. He's breaking his own record.
Yeah, Andre Drummond.
Yeah, we can't be having that. We need the Kings. We need Boogie Mac. I call him C-Mac. We need C-Mac to go up there and get these dunks. We need Ty Lawson to get a dunk. That, you know, we need everybody to dunk tomorrow, and we need to protect the rim, and that's the only chance we got against Cleveland.
All right, thanks for the call. I got to tell you, I don't really care whether the ball is dunked or whatever. It's 2 points whether you dunk it or not. Hey, it is 6:42. I'm sounding like Doug now. I'm on Central Time, or I'm on Hawaiian Time, or Doug's probably listening, laughing as he's driving his son to his basketball game. It is 6:42. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th to the 22nd. We'll finish up this show with your calls right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Final segment. We welcome your phone calls, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We told you the game was played in London earlier today. And, boy, how about the Denver Nuggets? Boy, they put a hurting on Indiana over in front of 18,500 people. They beat Indiana 140 to 112. Right now in the third, the Knicks lead the Bulls 70-61. Spurs are destroying the Lakers at the break 72-54. A little bit later, Dallas and Phoenix, and the Warriors host the Pistons. Of course, tomorrow we'll be out at Golden One Center. And how about the Cavaliers? I watched that second half last night at the Moda Center. And you know what? The Cavaliers just did not look good, did they? They're 28-10. But you know what? On the road, they're 10-7. Now, compare that to the Warriors. They're 16-3 on the road. The Spurs, 17-3 on the road. The Cavaliers are only 10-7 on the road. And they've lost 4 of their last 10. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They're on a 6-game road trip. They're 2-2 on this road trip. They lost to the Jazz on Tuesday. They lost last night in Portland, and you got to believe, right, that they're going to be ticked off when they come in here tomorrow. You got to believe, I would think, that the Cavaliers with the Warriors on schedule for Monday, and I'm just telling you, I think the Cavaliers will not win on Monday. I'm not saying they don't have a chance, but I'm predicting right now that they will not win on Monday. So if Sacramento can beat Cleveland tomorrow, that would put the Cavaliers at a 4-game losing streak. And Toronto is not that far back at 3 back, 25-13. So what do you think? 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you want to text the show, 44-1140. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Grant Napier Show, NAPEAR. You know, you look at the West right now with that win last night, Portland, 18-23. So they've got two more wins than Sacramento, but they have one more loss. Denver with the win today in London, they're at 15-23. And Sacramento in between those two at 16-22. And if you're looking at Sacramento, 16-22, I mean, if they don't win tomorrow, then they're even in the loss column with Portland and even in the loss column with Denver. So not going to be easy. Again, we have, because to me, you're going to see the A version of the Cavaliers tomorrow. I would love to see the Kings play well tomorrow and have a chance to win this game. I mean, again, we saw Utah beat Cleveland and we saw Portland destroy Cleveland. Portland destroyed them. I mean, they beat them badly. They beat them badly last night. So we'll see. Not going to be easy tomorrow. Again, 28-10 are the Cavaliers and Sacramento 16-22. And, of course, we'll be at Golden 1 Center, 3 o'clock, and then game night at 6, all the action with a pregame show at 7, and then the game at 7:30. Then a game on Sunday at 6 against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then they'll close out this 7-game homestand on Wednesday against the Indiana Pacers. NFL playoffs, Doug and I will talk a lot about that tomorrow. The early game on Saturday is Seattle at Atlanta. Houston at New England is the late game. Then on Sunday, Pittsburgh and Kansas City play at 10 a.m. Pacific, and then at 1:40, Green Bay and Dallas. Now, Jordy Nelson again did not practice, and yeah, I would have no idea, but I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine Jordy Nelson, if he does play, being effective. And boy, oh boy, wouldn't you just even taking a hit in that area? I mean, he would have to take, he'd have to get shot up, and he would still have to play with a great deal of discomfort. Not saying he can't do it, but if I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, I'm certainly not counting on Jordy Nelson to line up and play Sunday in Green Bay. Now, if you're in the numbers, Dallas has hosted Green Bay 5 times in the playoffs, and they've won the last 4 by an average of 14.5. I think Dallas is going to win this game. I don't like the matchup here. I think that Dallas will be able to maintain possession of the ball and keep Green Bay off the field. I know Aaron Rodgers is on fire, and I think he'll be able to, throw the ball on this Dallas defense, and I think he'll be able to move the ball pretty well. I don't think Green Bay's defense is going to be able to hold up. So I don't see it. I do not see the Green Bay Packers defense being good enough to win this game. You know, the Giants went up and down the field on Green Bay. If the Giants went up and down the field on Green Bay, Dallas is going to go up and down the field on Green Bay. I don't like this matchup from the Cowboys or from the Green Bay Packers' perspective. I think everybody thinks that, New England is going to roll against Houston. And then I think, the other two games, Seattle-Atlanta should be a dandy. I think Atlanta will win, though. And then Pittsburgh and Kansas City, to me, is a toss-up. 12-4 against 11-5. Chiefs with the week off. We don't know about Roethlisberger. I mean, we know he's going to play, but you'd have to be, a little concerned at the fact that he was in a boot after the game. But we are talking about Big Ben. We got Kansas City's defense. We got that crazy, crazy crowd at Arrowhead. Going to be interesting to see if the Chiefs are able to maintain Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, because certainly we did not see that from the Miami Dolphins. We did not see that from the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins, that was no contest. That game was over a couple of minutes in. And by the way, the Chiefs in the playoffs at home at Arrowhead, 2 wins, 5 losses. And at home in the playoffs, they're 0-3 with the extra week off. Roethlisberger, if you're keeping score at home, 4-2 in playoff road games. All right, back tomorrow at 3. Make it a great evening, and thanks for listening to Sports 1140 KHTK.